World events are escalating, and it seems that prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Many people think we are about to enter the end of days, the appearance of the Antichrist, and the Great Tribulation, which will cause many to fall away from the faith while the rest are tortured and killed. Many of our evangelical friends and family tell us that there's no reason to worry if you are a true Christian, because before the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast, all true Christians will be raptured, caught up in the air with Jesus, and taken to heaven, and they will not have to endure all of that. They say that this is what the Bible says, but does it really? Let's take a look, shall we? First, let's establish that all Christians have always believed in a rapture, so to speak. What it is and when it will happen is disputed. There are three choices. The pre-tribulation rapture, Christians will be raptured before the tribulation. Mid-tribulation, it will happen sometime in the middle of the tribulation. And post-tribulation, it will happen after the tribulation. No one believed in a mid-tribulation rapture or a pre-tribulation rapture where Christians are taken up to heaven before the Antichrist and the tribulation before 1800. The traditional view is that everyone will be caught up in the air with Christ and come down with him at the second coming, after the end-time events such as the tribulation, for the general judgment. This would be considered a post-tribulation rapture. The pre-tribulation rapture is what people mean when they say the rapture. So from this point on, I will refer to the pre-tribulation rapture simply as the rapture. Now, there are a few Bible passages those who believe in the rapture use to support this idea. The main one is 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. The word that is translated as caught up is rapiermor from the Latin text, which is where the word rapture comes from. But notice what happens before the being caught up or rapture. Christ descending with a cry of command, archangels calling, trumpets blaring, the dead are rising. This doesn't sound like a secret half return where Jesus gets this person and that person and people will just disappear and no one knows why, like the raptured crowd claims. It sounds to me like everyone's going to see this, like it's going to happen after the tribulation, the Antichrist, and all the dust has settled. But it doesn't actually say when it will happen. So let's see if the Bible can give us a clue on this. Mark 13, verse 24 through 27. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give off its light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Notice it says the elect will be gathered after the tribulation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. This is called a mini-apocalypse, where Christ himself gives details about the end times. I suggest you read the whole chapter, but here are some of the highlights. And Jesus answered them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of sufferings. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake." Well, that should settle it, but let's continue. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." The proponents of the rapture claim that the tribulation after the rapture will be the worst the world has ever seen. So Christ isn't talking about another tribulation. But notice it says those days were shortened for the sake of the elect, but the elect are the ones who were supposed to have been raptured. Continuing, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give off its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." It couldn't be clearer. After the tribulation will be the coming of the Son of Man, with the trumpet call spoken of in 1 Thessalonians, then the angels will gather the elect, a post-tribulation rapture. But the Bible says one will be taken and one will be left behind. Let's look at that. Matthew 24:37-42. "As were the days of Noah, so will it be with the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them away. So will it be with the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left." Notice Jesus says it will be like the days of Noah, and it is everyone but those in the ark that are said to have been taken away. A parallel passage is Luke 26:35. "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and brimstone rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken, the other left." Jesus also says it will be like the days of Lot. In Genesis, it is everyone but Lot that is said to have been taken away. Genesis 19:15. "With the coming of dawn, the angels urge Lot, saying, 'Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished.'" The disciples asked Jesus where the people were taken, Luke 17:37. "And they said to him, 'Where, Lord?' He said to them, 'Where the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together.'" Some translations say vultures. The point is birds feast off carcasses. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. Let's look at the parable of the wheat and the weeds in Matthew chapter 13. He put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he replied, 'No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will be thrown into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." It is the bad people who are taken away, and the good people who are left behind. You want to be left behind. This parable makes that clear. But isn't the rapture in the book of Revelation? No. In fact, the book of Revelation denies it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 5. "Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until after the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection." Now, I'm not a premillennialist, but those who believe in the rapture are, and this verse completely destroys the pre-tribulation rapture. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is where the rapture theology comes from, says that the dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive and who are left will be caught up. Revelation chapter 20 says the first resurrection includes those who were beheaded and did not receive the mark or worship the beast or his image. If this is the first resurrection, then the dead in Christ that rise before the rapture spoken of in 1 Thessalonians has to be this one or a later one. And the first resurrection spoken of in Revelation 20 is clearly after the tribulation. So what's really going on with the rapture, what's being described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, isn't Christ getting people, taking them to heaven before the tribulation, only to return at a later time. It's the one second coming of Christ. He doesn't return and leave several times. When Christ returns, those who are alive will be caught up in the air with him and come down. Then it's the general judgment, which is after the tribulation and the Antichrist. Let's be clear about what this pre-tribulation rapture theology is really saying. It says you won't have to suffer. God's going to take you away before the world goes after Christians. Is this logical? Does it fit with the Bible and history? Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned. James was thrown off of a building, not to mention the countless martyrs crucified and fed to the lions in Rome. Where was their rapture? Isn't it interesting that it's only in America that this theology has taken root? Us spoiled Americans who don't suffer well. We get upset if we have to wait 5 minutes at a restaurant or wait 30 minutes for the ibuprofen to kick in. The Bible does not say that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. It explicitly says that it will happen after the tribulation. Therefore, the pre-tribulation rapture is false. Now, I don't know to what extent it affects someone's salvation who believes in it. But when the tribulation comes and those who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture see it's not going to happen, they could fall away thinking all of Christianity is false, and that will affect their salvation. Until my next video, God bless.